he liked girls. We'll put it that way. He kissed a number of girls in the course of the same week, and then was
the
going.
Same week?
Yeah, this is very fitting to.
You're listening to the UGA BCM podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Well, welcome back, guys. We are on installment number 3 of UGA BCM Unscripted podcast. Last week was a little serious as we talked about the importance of the local church and campus ministry and how that you can balance both. This week is not serious. We have no scheduled anything to talk about. It is fully, truly unscripted, and it's just the three of us sitting in a room around a mic. We hope that this one is a little fun. Carson told me that Tyler told her that the one of the last podcasts he thought was going to be funny and humorous, and it was serious. And so we want to keep the audience guessing. So today's going to be, I hope it's fun. We'll find out. So with that in mind, Ryan, what is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you in ministry? We're starting right there.
All right. The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me in ministry. It's not like the most embarrassing, but it is the one that comes to mind every time. The first time that I ever taught large group for kids ministry on a Sunday morning at church in the Gospel Project, we were in the Minor Prophets. We come to Zephaniah, and I have to teach on the entirety of Zephaniah, having never read Zephaniah myself.
Oh, boy.
And so I get up there and think, oh, these kids don't know who Zephaniah is either. And so I make a joke, something along the lines of, hey, guys, who here knows about Zephaniah? Because I sure didn't before last week. And the room was about as quiet as it just was right then.
It was
dead quiet. No leader laughed. No kid thought it was funny. And that was the first thing I said.
Oh, that's exciting.
So it was a train wreck from there. I've kind of blocked the rest of that. I don't really know what all else I said that day.
That's awesome. Do you know more about Zephaniah, though?
A little bit.
A little
because
bit.
Of that.
Because of that.
Yes.
That's good. Carson, you ever been embarrassed?
I've definitely been embarrassed before, but I can't think of anything specific. Like, there's, like, funny things. Like, you know, one time last semester, I knew that I had gotten coffee with these girls. So, like, I knew that I should know their names, but I didn't. And so I looked at my phone to, like, try to figure out who they were. And I knew I'd figure out what their names were. And so I went up to them and I was like, hey, how are y'all doing? They're like, good, how are you? And everything. And then instead of, like, using their names, though, I played it off like I was trying to remember their names. And then I just guessed the correct name. And they were like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, how did you do that? How did you remember
so
that?
So you lied.
Yeah. But then I... But then I told them.
They're probably listening.
No, they're probably not listening.
Okay. I'm going to make sure they hear this, though.
We're not off camera.
We're not on camera. What are we on?
Off mic.
Off mic. I'm going to find out who these girls were, and I'm going to let them know to listen.
No, I'm not telling you who they were.
Okay. All right.
But I told them, I was like, I'm going to be so real. I looked at our text messages so I could remember y'all's name. They're like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha. So I told them.
Okay. That's good.
I was like, I should have just led with, hey, how are y'all doing with their names?
Yeah.
But
so that's the dirty little secret about ministry. It always bugs me when, like, certain guys always remember everybody's name. Like, is it difficult for all, or do you have, like, some crazy memory where you remember everybody's name?
I'm terrible at remembering names, but I will remember, like, things that I talked about with that person.
Yes.
Or things that we've done.
Yes.
But I cannot say.
Which I'm the opposite.
You're the opposite. Yeah. You remember their name.
Yeah.
But you have no idea who they are.
I'm like, did we grab coffee or lunch? I have no idea. I can tell you their name.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm awful with names. I can tell you all about the conversations we had, but when it comes down to the names, like, that is not a good situation for me. And so I think... I've tried putting, like, little dots by people when you put them in your phone. Like, if we tell people to do that during Welcome Week, right? So you can at least know where you saw them. Have you ever, like, found yourself? Oh boy, we're telling secrets today.
oh gosh.
So if I ever do this to you on a Monday night, just give me a break and know I'm terrible with names. Have you ever found yourself like talking to someone, you know exactly who they are, you know, like how, like what their major is, how long they've been at the BCM, like what small group they're in, whatever, like you see them all the time and you just like, you can't remember their name. Have you ever done that and like had that conversation where you'll go with a 10, 15 minute conversation and you'll word everything just so you never have to say their name? Have you ever done that?
Yep.
I think they should teach that in seminary, honestly. Like, I think that that should be one of the things that they teach pastors. And in your case, Carson, those going into ministry of the female persuasion. is like, how do you have a conversation when you don't know somebody's name? That would be good.
I did it last night. My roommate had a friend over, and I didn't. Great. She might listen to this, actually.
She probably will listen to this.
I thought I knew her name, but I didn't want to call her the wrong name, so I just avoided it at all costs.
Yeah. How do you do that? What's your skill on that, Ryan? Like, how do you avoid, like, what phrasing and terminology? Oh,
I make it second person. The entire conversation is in the second person. Yeah. It's all about you and things that you have done, things that I can do for you. I'll never say Tom.
Right. That's good. So, hey, if you're part of the BCM and you're in leadership and it comes welcome week next year and you meet all these different new people and it's the first week of gathering, don't avoid them, right? Don't avoid them at BCM because you don't remember their name. Just go talk to them in the second person. And then when you give them your phone, but here's the cool thing, right? With college students, it's like, hey, you mind if I give you my phone number so that we can like get connected for coffee or lunch, or can I get your phone number? Like, that's great in that conversation, because in that moment, it's like they're either going to text you and put their name on it, or you're going to give them your phone and they're going to put their number and their name in. And you're like, ah, that's Johnny. Now I know. Right. So that's a great tool. Right. If you don't know their name, just get their phone number. They'll have to give you your name.
Yeah.
Names. That's a hard one. So you've been embarrassed before. We've probably all been embarrassed before.
What's your biggest embarrassment?
Oh, gosh. Oh boy. This goes back a long time. This is why y'all can't date students. Well, you're married. That's why you can't date students, Ryan. But Carson, this story is the reason that I can't date students. For me, this is why you can't date students.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was doing college ministry while also in college. At a local church. Mallory was actually, we had started dating by this point, and I looked out on a particular Bible study that I was leading with some college students, and there was a good number of students there, and I believe there were three young ladies that were in that Bible study that I had dated somewhere in the previous 6 months. And that was awkward in that moment. That was a very, very, very awkward moment. Looking back at it, really dumb, like just really dumb. And so, my wife would probably have more to say about that whole time in my life. But anyways, I don't know if embarrassed is the word, or just like in that moment, I was like, what have I done? You know what I mean?
Embarrassed because it was awkward, or embarrassed because like they were
ugly. What? Jeez, Ryan. Jeez. What do you think about me, man?
I'm teaching.
There's three girls that I dated that are sitting in like the first two rows. And then there's the girl I was dating sitting like right there too. Yeah.
The reason for the embarrassment, like,
I think it was probably more awkward than I guess dated
for you. Okay. Not
yeah, for me. Yeah. I don't know if it was. I mean, it could. I don't know. They were back. I guess they were. I mean, they came to the Bible study.
You know what would have been better?
What
if they were sitting all together?
That would have been better
on the front row.
That would have been better.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. So that actually happened to my brother when he was a student in student ministry. My brother, who's now the pastor at First Baptist Church of Buford, Georgia, he liked girls. We'll put it that way. He kissed a number of girls in the course of the same week, and then was
the
going.
Same week?
Yeah, and this is very fitting too, because it was Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl Sunday. You know, Super Bowl is coming up. This is a perfect story, right? And so I'm going to have to send this link to Stephen and be like, hey, I talked about you. Hope it doesn't get you in trouble with your church, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a long time ago. He had kissed a number of girls in the same week. I mean, there was some, like, context there that I probably should give, but I won't for the sake of time, and just because it's funnier without the context. But then he had brought another girl with him to church. I believe I had just graduated high school and was like back home for the weekend, or either I was a senior in high school. I can't remember which one at this point. I think I was a freshman in college and was home for the weekend. And we'd had like the weekend off or something. I came home. So I had went with him like before church. Like, we drove the same car, picked this girl up, and went to church. And this was back when you had, student choir was a big thing, right? Like, you could grow a student ministry on a student choir. And so me and my brother and this other girl go walking in, he was going with her to he was taking her, I guess is the best way to put it, to a some sort of like Super Bowl party afterwards or whatever. And I don't remember, we may have drove separate cars, I don't remember, but long story short, we walk in, and all those girls that he had kissed that week are staring this other girl down as he walks in. Service happens that night, and when the service is over with, like, he goes out to get in the car, and the other girls who he had kissed that week, and it was either three or four of them, I can't remember exactly how many, they were sitting, like, on the hood of the car waiting for him when he walked out there. And our youth guy had to, which one of them was actually his daughter, to force them to, like, basically leave Stephen alone so that he could go to this party. So anyways, yeah. So
they
it was
were in
awesome.
High school.
Yeah, they were in high school.
Who won the Super Bowl?
I have no earthly idea. Not Stephen. So yeah, so it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I was just teaching a class with three people that I just dated it previously in there. Yeah. I didn't show up to church with a bunch of girls I'd kissed in the same week. So it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been worse. I just threw my brother under the bus.
You sure did.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's great. That is awesome. So that is why, Carson, you cannot date any students.
I wasn't planning on it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. So anyways, by the way, if you're listening, we actually have a policy across the state of Georgia that if you're a campus missionary, you cannot date a student. So that's just a clear policy.
Do you know how much crap I got from people last semester when I was still a student for that? Like, people would try to set me up and stuff, like my friends and things. And then I'm like, I can't, guys, like, no, like, I can't. No. Not student. Then they're like, but you're still a student.
It's like, it doesn't matter. You took the position.
I know.
Yeah, you took the position. So
take that up with Beverly.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, I got a question. Who won last night?
Who won what?
Basketball game.
Did you
say? Yeah. It's a great question. Y'all were supposed to know this.
Yeah.
They should have won.
All I know is that the Hawks lost on ref ball. I watched DeAndre Hunter's last game.
Sorry, nobody watches the NBA. That's a hot take. They don't play defense in the NBA until the playoffs, which means it's a waste of my time.
UGA won last night.
That's good.
Don't, like, more people watch,
thanks,
like,
Tyler,
WNBA?
For assisting me on that.
You don't think so?
Tyler assisted you?
Yeah, Tyler texted.
Did he really?
He said UGA won last night.
Nice. That's exciting. This is not live. How do you know we asked that question?
He's sitting in the hallway.
Yeah.
Tyler is sitting in the hallway right now?
Yeah.
He's sitting in the hallway.
That is great.
He waved in the window.
Should we bring the president in?
We could
bring the president in. We're staying live. Just open the door right now, Ryan. Bring the president in. Tyler, we are live. Come on in, buddy. We're live, Tyler. This is how we make this thing go viral right
here.
Oh, no. There it is.
Because Tyler is here.
Say some rooster and feather duster nonsense.
Yeah, Tyler, go over there. You don't even have a seat, man.
I take a knee.
You'll take a knee.
I played baseball. That's my day. I used to take a knee on the grass.
Tyler, what's your take on this podcast situation? We have absolutely nothing planned for today. We've talked about my brother kissing multiple girls in the same week. We've talked about Ryan not knowing. What book was that?
Zephaniah.
But having to teach on it.
Zephaniah 3:17. Like, that's like every girl's like favorite verse. That's a classic.
Why is it every girl's favorite verse? Tell us.
It's like is commonly referenced in terms of like the whole like body image thing.
Uh-huh.
Girls will quote that verse a lot.
What is the verse?
I'm not sure. It's like the Lord. It's like the Lord rejoices over you with loud dancing or something like that.
Let's look it up.
You can look it up in the ESV or something.
Why does it got to be the ESV, Tyler?
3:17.
Here we go.
The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing.
That's a good verse.
It's a good verse. That's like, legitimately, it's a good verse. But I'm just saying it's common. I have seen it written on a few sticky notes on, as an encouragement. And guys don't really write sticky notes.
You mean like on our mirrors, like in the bathroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, you're waking up, you're thinking about the word in the morning. It's good.
Yeah, I think it's great.
That's good. Tyler, what do you think about this podcast situation?
I'll be honest with you. We were at Cookout. After gathering on Monday, and Carson asked me, what do you think about the podcast? And I, like, off the cuff said, it's boring. And
see, I just referenced this earlier. I didn't use the word boring, but thanks.
But Carson then informed me that I was coming into it with the wrong spirit.
Yes.
You know, because I saw BCM Unscripted and I knew that you were on it. And I'm like, oh, Unscripted Tommy, this is going to be hilarious. But then it had a serious tone. And so I was just kind of taken off guard. But I'll admit, I listened to the most recent episode about church involvement and balance.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
I
good.
Like legitimately good. Enjoyed listening to that. You know, so there's room for
both. Yeah. So Beverly Skinner, our boss, told me earlier today in a text. She sent me a really nice text and said, hey, I listened to your podcast on the church and campus ministry. And she was like, I wish that just everybody could hear that, because that's like a great synopsis of, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Yeah. I could read the text, but no. But you know, it's a great synopsis of like what we want that relationship to be. So yeah. So I mean, sometimes, you know, we have, like today we're having fun, right? Carson is embarrassed easily, apparently. I'm just kidding. I don't know. she said she wasn't like embarrassed a lot.
She has
no good stories.
Yeah. No good embarrassing. Yeah. Not about ministry.
Tyler, have you ever been embarrassed in ministry? Most embarrassing sort of moment ministry related?
I can't say so. I mean, I forget names.
We already discussed that. You're late to the game, man.
Yeah, I'm late to the game on that. I'm not very easily embarrassed. My dad really kind of toughened me up when I was younger.
Okay.
I told a story that when we go to like local Mexican restaurant, every town has like the one Mexican restaurant
you yes.
go to like three times a week.
Uh-huh.
So in Hendersonville, North Carolina, that restaurant was Papa's and Beer. We've since added more Mexican restaurants that are better, but it's okay. Papas and Beer.
Papas and Beer.
Correct. So not potatoes, but like, you know.
Potatoes and Beer.
No, not potatoes.
Like Christ. Papa, like Papa. Father.
Papa.
Papa and Beer. Fathers and Beer.
Correct.
Okay. That's not very Baptist, Tyler.
Or
That's true.
That's a little more Mexican. Methodist. Yeah.
But anyhow.
So, okay, go ahead.
So, you know, when they bring chips, in this case it was bean dip.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And my dad nicknamed the bean dip Diaper Dip. And so one time we had a bunch of family up at our house, and we all went to Papa's and Beer to eat. And they brought the chips and dip to the table. My dad, not lying, pulls out a diaper.
Right.
And puts the dip in the diaper and eats it. And
At the restaurant.
Why?
And because he thought it would be funny, and it was, in fact, very funny.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And, but that's just an example. You know, like, I've been conditioned to not being embarrassed very easily.
That's good.
And I'm thankful for that. You know,
that's good.
My dad made sure I had some thick skin.
That's good. That's good. Tyler, you're a big baseball guy. Played baseball in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about the new turf at UGA's baseball stadium? That's what I want to know.
I played outfield.
Okay.
And so I hate turf.
Yeah.
Because I actually remember playing in Marion, North Carolina, turf field. Very nice place. And it was kind of a little flare out in the outfield.
Yeah.
Running in, sprinting, and I realized I wasn't going to get there. So I slammed on the brakes. Ball hit the ground, bounced like 15 feet in the air.
Yes.
Over my head, and then I had to turn around and chase it down. That was way more embarrassing than my dad pulling out a diaper at the Mexican restaurant. And so as an outfielder, I hate turf fields.
Right.
As an infielder, like, turf fields are great. It's a true hop.
That's one thing I would say. You know, my son's freshman high school, he's an infielder. And we even tell those age guys, like, if you're playing on turf and you make errors, there's absolutely something wrong with you, right? So, like, bottom line is that I don't know what UGA starting lineup's going to be. Shout out to my boy T.L. Saxon. I got a coach when he was a freshman, sophomore in high school. playing a little first base over there now. But you know what? If those guys make errors this year, it's their own dadgum fault, because we ought to have the best stinking infield defensively in the SEC with that pretty brand-new fresh turf. Because if it starts bouncing, it just bounces. And if it starts staying down, it just stays down. So yeah. So anyways, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Hey, Carson, what do you think about the turf at the new baseball or the new turf at the baseball stadium?
Tommy, you seriously want to know what I know about turf?
Yeah.
I'm being so for real. The only experience I have with turf is on a football field.
Uh-huh.
Because I was a dancer.
Okay.
And we did, like, halftime shows.
Yeah.
And we were prepared. Like, we had to go. We would go in, like, in the end zone area, like, outside the end zone behind, mm-hmm. like, you know, the field goal or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the game, like, before halftime.
Yeah.
And we would practice pirouettes.
Uh-huh.
On the turf.
Yeah.
Because turf is a lot slicker than grass, you can yeah. turn a lot easier.
Yeah.
So we would practice our pirouettes and make sure we could turn and not fall over, and we could do like doubles. And if the turf was wet,
uh-huh.
we would also need to, because you need to get a feel of what it's going to feel like when we perform on the field. That way we don't fall on our butts while we're dancing. That is my knowledge about
so,
turf.
So what I'm learning today is, what we're all learning today is not only turf easier to field a ground ball on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But turf is also easier to spin in a circle on.
It is on one
foot. To do
foot.
A pirouette.
Yeah, it is easier to spin a circle on one foot, but it's a lot more slippery. So you just uh-huh. have to be careful. You could fall over.
Yeah.
Easier.
That's good.
Because on grass, you have to put a lot more force.
Yeah.
So on turf, it doesn't need as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Ryan, you got any input on turf? Why are we talking about turf?
I know it gives you a competitive advantage. Like you said, like if it stays down, it's going to stay down. If it hops, it's going to hop. Like yeah. I get that. I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah.
I want dirt and real grass.
Dirt and real grass.
I don't want this turf.
That's garbage. Right.
So you're the, you are, here's how we're going to tie this back to the BCM.
Oh boy.
You are the KJV version of like
yes.
infields.
KJV only.
Yeah, you're KJV. All the way. If turf was a Bible, it would be the KJV.
We could correct the Greek.
No, if grass. Yes.
If grass.
Yeah, and
if
grass and dirt.
Grass and dirt is KJV and turf is ESV. Is that what I'm hearing?
Is turf the message?
If
is turf the message?
Maybe.
You know, the
yeah,
Blue
I don't know.
Jays used to have that turf.
No, that didn't count. That was concrete with, like, carpet over it.
But no, but, that, but the, around true. The base pads, they had real dirt.
They did.
You
they
remember
did.
That?
Yes.
That's the new King James.
That's the new King James.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, Aiden Webb
yes.
is a big grass and dirt guy. He's
yeah.
a big KJV
yeah.
guy. So, you
yeah.
think he is also against turf?
Oh, I'm sure he is. Matter of fact, I would say that what's interesting about the University of Georgia going to turf on their baseball field is the fact that we're in Georgia, where literally you have Tifton, Bermuda, which is 99.9% of your infield turfs, right? Like as far as your grass areas, and particularly in the South when it comes to baseball fields.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we don't have loads of access to Tifton, Bermuda, right? It's just down the road a couple hours. So anyways, I think even at UGA, don't we have like some people that literally like that's what their major is?
Yeah.
Is like
turf grass management.
Yeah, that awesome. Is it, right?
Yeah.
But now we're going to need less of those people because they'll just only have to work on the football field, not the baseball field, right? Because now I don't know what brand they're using, so I don't want to call out the wrong brand, but you know, now it's just you come in every few years.
What does the softball field have turf?
It does not. It has grass, but it's a dirt infield, you know. Yeah. So yeah.
So they can still work on the grass.
They can work on the grass in the outfield.
I can just imagine students listening to this later, and they're like, "What in the world? Actually, are we talking about?"
And softball season starts today.
Softball season does start today.
They're in Orlando.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to our girl Emma Castori. Yep. Yep. So, all right. Hey, got a question, Tyler. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm so ready, Tom.
Okay. So here's the question. As president of the BCM, right, as president of the BCM, are you a him guy or are you a, what's the other?
Contemporary?
We're going full blown other end of the spectrum. All right. So are you a him guy? Are you a Bethel guy? Or are you somewhere in the middle?
You know, the predictable answer would be I'm a him guy.
Okay.
But I appreciate him.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time, both times I've preached at BCM, I have instructed McKenna to include a him in our worship set.
It's very pastoral of you, Tyler.
And turn your eyes at the UGA chapel.
Uh-huh.
That made me a little watery eyed.
Did you really? Yeah,
that was great. That was great.
Look full in his wonderful face.
But yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. It is. That's a good one.
Anyway. But yeah, I like some contemporary selections. I'm growing up a little bit. Uh-huh. I'm stepping into the 21st century.
Okay.
You know, so as I step back into like the 19th century, drinking my black Folgers every morning.
Yes. Well, I was just wondering, because honestly, I don't know if you realize this or not, but like that's part of our goal for your second term was to get you to embrace more like 20, at least 10 right. worship songs, right. you know,
right. that's okay.
like that was the goal.
we can move up to like Chris Tomlin range.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, we're getting somewhere.
Maybe a few years from now, I'll graduate into finally catching up to like Brandon Lake or something like that.
Oh, that's and a big
then,
step for you.
But then your world is going to be blown away, because what's going to happen is you're going to go full blown from like the old school hymns to then like the contemporary stuff. And then you're going to be like, what is this? Is this a hymn? Or is this contemporary? Was this written in 2025? Or was this written in 1825? And you're not going to know.
That's true.
Right? Because that's where you've even seen some of the shift go back. And then you're just going to be mind blown. You're not going to know what to do.
The construction of a lot of very popular modern worship music is similar to the construction of hymns, which is great.
That's good.
So maybe they'll hang around for more than like 2 years.
There some you people go. Call them modern.
Yeah, that would be a new good name for it.
That's a debate. You know, like what constitutes a hymn? I'm not a literary critic, you know, but I feel like if a song repeats the bridge more than twice, it just immediately puts it out of the hymn category.
If a song has it.
Even if it has a bridge.
Yeah.
But then some hymns do kind of have that, you know, chorus bridge kind of hybrid thing.
It's called verse 3.
Which is usually the best and like deepest theological verse.
Yeah.
And it's got the most doctrine
in it, and you don't sing it. It's the way it works.
Yeah.
You should just for fun one day Google, why do Baptists not sing the third verse of a hymn, and just read the responses. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining. So, yeah. Apparently, you got to keep that service going.
If you don't end right at 12 o'clock so you can beat the Methodist to the Mexican restaurant, then you're not doing it.
You know, that's what I love about the new church schedules, though. I'll be honest with you. Like, the fact that, like, a lot of churches don't start at 11 anymore, right? That you get that 10:30 start, or you get the option for the early service. Man, you know, like the church I go to, we start at 10, right? And there is nothing like, you know, even when it runs long, you're out of there by 11:30 and you're rolling into that lunch restaurant. And the only people there are the folks from the early service at their local church and they're about to leave and you just take their table. It's great. There's nothing like it.
I have a funny story. My dad was a pastor for a few years and they, you know, they're good old Baptists. So they had a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service, right? So after Sunday morning, you know, everyone goes to lunch, everyone goes home, whatever. They come back Sunday night and he's talking to this older lady. I don't remember her name. I was young, but he's like, oh, hey, Miss So-and-so, like, how was your Sunday? You know, how you doing? And she's just all just sour face, like looking at him, super mad at him. And I don't remember what she said, but she said, she was like, oh, I'm not doing very well. And he's like, well, why not? Like, what's going on? And she goes, well, your sermon lasted so long this morning, you made me burn my chicken. Apparently she had her chicken in the oven, I guess, preparing it for lunch for her family. And he went over.
And it was a little small church, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you got to keep those ladies happy.
Yeah, you do.
You do. Because you do. Like I learned when I was pastoring First Baptist Casita, like I learned, like if I kept our older ladies, our senior adult ladies happy,
You're doing good.
Yeah, I mean, because like when we had Madison, when we had Madison, like we came home from the hospital and Miss Tessie was at our door with homemade buttermilk biscuits and pear preserves, waiting on us to walk in the door. Right. And I'm like, you can't beat that.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Mm-mm.
And we had Miss Ruby who she was in her 70s, I guess, at that time. And she was my secretary. And literally, we had to tell Miss Ruby, you got to quit bringing us cakes and pies, because the whole, like our freezer, we couldn't put anything in our freezer because it was so many cakes and pies. And that was where my weight gain began. Like that right there, like those ladies helped me become Fat Tommy back in the day. Like they helped me do that. And so you got to keep those ladies happy. You can't let them burn their chicken.
No, you can't. That's a hard lesson to learn, too. He was like, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
That's no more pear preserves, no more cakes, no more biscuits if you do that. Yeah, that's a good point. So that's what we're missing at the BCM.
Old ladies?
Yeah, that's what...
You're a collegiate.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's why if you're a college student at the BCM, we're tying this all back as we close today.
Right.
That's why last week mattered. That's why you got to be a part of a local church, because you got to have a multi-generational, like, influence in your life. And the bottom line is, if you're away from home, like, you got to find some older folks who are going to cook you a good meal every once in a while. Right. True, not only is it good for you spiritually, but, like, I mean, you know, you don't, what they call it, freshman 15.
Yeah.
Right. Like, most people get their freshman 15 from drinking things they shouldn't be drinking. No, get your freshman 15 from finding that local church and you eating some of them casseroles. That's how you get that good, spiritual, holy freshman 15 right there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Tyler?
That's good. That's good. I mean, you know, we could also teach our students how to make biscuits and gravy. that could be discipleship opportunity right
The problem in Athens is you don't have to do that because you just go to Mama's Boys, right?
Yeah, that's true.
you don't have to make your own, right? Or any of the other.
Big City Bread.
Yeah, Big City Bread. You pick the breakfast place. You pick the breakfast
Flying
place.
Flying Biscuit.
Yeah. Speaking of which, next week on Unscripted, it just came to me. Hey, y'all, hold on. This is we got, you can't steal our thunder for next week. This is it. Speaking of which, next week, Unscripted, you definitely want to hear it because that's what, right now, I'm making the call. All right. Don't go scripted out. You just be thinking about it. Next week, we're talking about food. We're talking about Athens, Georgia. What's the best places to eat? Sound like a plan?
Yeah. And then we're going to tie it back into the BCM.
Probably not. Probably not next week. I don't know how we're going to pull that off.
We can do it.
We'll figure it out in some way. We can talk about food, and then at the end of it, we can talk about, like, best places to take a new student. Right?
There we go.
So we can evaluate.
Discipleship opportunities.
Yes, that's right.
Best places in Athens, not necessarily the best places.
That is also a good point. That is a very good point. That is a very good point. So, guys, I think that's all we got today. Tyler, you walked in the room halfway through this thing, so I don't know how we want to end it other than we're going to let you say goodbye to everyone.
Okay, that sounds good. You know, I'm really thankful for the listeners to this podcast. I did some podcasting, some YouTubing back in my high school days.
It's true.
Yes, he did.
And thankfully, I've grown. I've been sanctified since then. And so, but I don't mind pulling it back out every now and then. So we will see y'all next week talking about food. I'm excited. Hope you are too.